You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. And in the WhatsApp, they're asking me to remind the port about easing the port charges. And I'm sure that that will come. And they're asking if there's a new deadline for filing income tax return. I remember hearing about that. But of course, anybody in the know or with authority can reiterate that that is what they're doing. I think there was a slight move. We talked about that on Sunday, and I saw a press release somewhere in relation to that. So we'll continue to get the answers for these questions, and we'll continue to put them out. So continue to ask the questions where you definitely need the answer. 11 o'clock in Barbados. You're on the air on Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. This is Benzo Calendar here.
Hi. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm impressed with how you're handling yourself.
Well, thank you very much.
Good morning. I think your understanding of relationships is really exemplary. And I want to make an input. As you know, I have been involved in public relations for, not in most recent times, but over the years, having been head of the Public Relations Association and so on, and dealing with community projects. I want to congratulate Ian Webster and the group of Calypsonians who have put on a very impressive program of communications to educate people about what they should do during the crisis. I think that has been the outstanding point so far in terms of communication. And I want to make just one or two proposals in line with the same thing. Because I believe the message can be spread, the positive message, that is, can be spread by a lot of people in similar manner. Maybe people who are doing poems, people who can put up posters. And I think that I know that there are a lot of people, not a lot, but there are some people in Barbados who don't watch television. They don't read newspaper. They don't listen to radio.
Mm-hmm.
They only hear from other people, and sometimes they might get it wrong. So I think this is a massive public relations and communications program that has to be engaged. And we have to go directly to the people. I've been involved in some national projects like these, and I've recommended, and has been followed through, where you go directly to the blocks, the shops, and so on, because some of those people don't read anything. So you need to go directly to them, and you can speak to them. Then there's also the announcements that you can make on vehicles, just how many water truck is coming around.
Mm-hmm,
go into these areas, make announcements, short announcements that are relevant to the issues. But, of course, you have to know what the specific message is. And I think that those at the top need to be clear as to what the message is and not have two different people with two different messages. The message must be very clear, mm-hmm. very crisp. But if they are fuzzy, then you're going to have difficulty. So I think we need to get the message right first.
I wanna jump in here with the with the Ian Webster Extempo Challenge. I threw the challenge to Crystal to send me some lines, and she did. I want to tell people, within minutes, it was here. So I'm even more tempted to do my thing. But outside
Crystal,
of that, Crystal Cummings Beckles,
lots
of crystals around. So yes, Crystal Cummings Beckles, Madame Crystal. But in terms of the message and being clear, that second point, I want to come in here and I want to say to you, because of certain information I have, there's some moving of the posts, and it's not intentional. But because this is new, things are happening at a pace that what is the information on Tuesday is not the information on Thursday. And it's not necessarily that the authorities, they don't know what they're doing, but they're updating and making things better as they go on. So I think that two things need to happen. One, the public, we need to have an understanding and patience. And two, the authorities may need to communicate with each other a little bit more to ensure that we get one message and put it out there as to reduce the level of confusion.
Yes. Oh, let me continue, because I think that the newspapers, you can have little short things in newspapers. All the media should be on board. As many people as possible, you can have on board to spread the message. And as I was saying, the people at the community level, some of whom are not in mainstream communication, you need to target them through the vehicles that are going on making the announcements, Mm-hmm. You need to, people need to go out there, a number of people, and give them specific messages, tell them, get from out here, you're not supposed to be out here,
yep.
Go home, so that when you're ready to take action, if you have to take action, they should
correct.
Have known
correct.
What message.
Correct. Someone was. Here online that they're agreeing with you, and saying the police or defense force could use like those blow horns or whatever, and drive through the neighborhood that some of them that are not compliant, and that way they can't say they don't know, you know?
Right, they need to know. And I think this is the biggest communication challenge that we've had in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the message needs to get out there in every nook and cranny. And instead of just criticizing people and trying to be hard on them and send them to prison, that language, I mean, I don't want to go down that road, but I need to make the point that we need to be positive and we need to do all the different things that we need to do so that these people can get off the road, they can go in their homes and do something positive. And, you know, you will know the places that you need to target to tell these fellas, get off the road. Even if the house is crowded, it might be better to be in the house than to be out there on the streets, especially in the curfew times. But even outside of the curfew times, I mean, some of these things that you like to do, you have to stop doing.
Correct.
Because
it can be inconvenient.
To yourself and your family and your friends.
And if we explain it, so I just want to jump in on this, because so we can have a back and forth conversation. Like, as bad as these bad boys does be, right? One thing you just notice, when anything happened to them, you see the, you know, the grandmother or the mother, oh, he was a good boy. And don't doubt it. He is a good boy to her.
Yeah.
And the reverse. So one of the things that you may have to use is to use that caring nature that they may have for the old girl to explain to them, you know what, it's not about you. It is about you taking it home and killing your parent or grandparent. Have you ever seen when they leave in court, they've got their hands up and smiling and fooling all the way, right? But when they get in our prison bus, and when they get in the cell, they'll be crying. And when you ask them the next morning, or when you got counseling, why are you crying so? They can't get the tears on the face of the mother or grandmother off of the face. I could tell you that from experience. So that's what
you
we
know,
may use to appeal to them.
You got
some of them.
You know, even those Jada vans and the minibuses,
mm-hmm.
I know that during election time, a lot of communication goes down. You find quickly, you will find posters up in the buses telling people things. You can get posters in the transport with the buses, the minibuses, with the specific message so that wherever they go, they're seeing it.
Here, this one. I know you're going to like this one, Wendell. This person here say, yes, Wendell, I agree with you. 200 points for you. But on the other hand, I got on this other thing. My chat,
yeah,
my people saying.
I've been listening for years, you know.
But no, on the other hand, I got these people. And I'm glad you came in to support this so people don't feel, okay, it's just a bleeding heart talking foolishness. Because
yeah,
some people here saying, blow a horn my backside, man. Just arrest them. That's what they're here saying on the other chat over here.
Let them go and arrest them. If they want this, you're writing in my business.
No, we don't want that. We don't want that.
I'm sorry, but I know two of us are nationalists.
Mm-hmm.
And we care about Barbados. We've demonstrated over the years. But those people who stand on the sidelines and like to encourage people to do nonsense don't have a great responsibility. That's the problem. You need to let them know. And then after you're satisfied that they have known, then you could have to, you use positive persuasion first, and if that doesn't work, you use negative. But you must be sure.
Correct. And that's why we are here trying to tell people, because again, a lot of messages coming in here saying that we are pandering.
You're doing a wonderful job. I don't come to flatter people.
Right. I know when you came in with, I got a little suspicious, but I understood where you're coming from, because I know how you are, right? This thing. Some people here, I was afraid, I didn't tell you, I ain't gonna lie to you. But some people here, though, they're saying we are pandering to idiocracy. So there are two sides to this. Yeah, they will have their opinion.
We understand communication.
So don't use limited resources.
All my life. And I understand that people need to get a clear message wherever they are. So that's the first thing. It must be specific. It must be clear. So wherever you have to go to let them know, every single person in Barbados needs to know the message. Don't assume they know. Some people can't even read. No?
Listen, there are people who, because they live in a certain world, they live in a bubble, they will never understand that there are people that are out there that have limited or no information on what is going on at all. And and that's one of the things, people tell me, forget your WhatsApp, forget your chat, but I am here now being fed back information in real time. of people saying, listen, they got to know the Justin listening, cracks and hey, shoot some people, that kind of, that's what, that's the kind of discussion.
I don't think those people are really responsible to this. I'm sorry to say that.
No, that is their way of thinking about, I'm telling you, they're all types that make the world go around.
Experience, okay? But I think a responsible country will make sure that the message is clear in every nook and cranny, very specific, and wherever possible, you can suggest ways to them how they can go in their house, or if not their house, they might have an aunt that got a house, they can go in here so that the house is not crowded. There are different ways of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have done it, then you can use any other negative method to enforce it.
All right, thank you. Well, let's move on. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mr. Lane.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I am fine, my favorite caller in the whole world.
As a matter of fact, I am in early.
Yes. I would take no credit for it, like how I didn't want to take licks for it last time. I take no credit for it this time.
I want to be honest with you, because at our grassroots level, at our way of understanding, as a matter of fact, what was just said there by the last caller, since Friday, I had a discussion with Mr. Ellis in relation to almost the same thing. And that is to say that Barbadians, you must persuade Barbadians in many forms, not just one way. And we had a discussion that lack of communication could be the fault of what is happening. We had a situation where it's been him that, and I think you would notice that this is the first time in your lifetime, first time in my lifetime, that we would ever had a shutdown and a state of emergency.
Yep.
So there will be certain things that obvious would need to be explained to a lot of people. You're not going to drive in front of moving bus to Kakori.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'm not going to drive in front of moving bus because I anticipate that there's an attempt to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening here is that I don't want the wrong people to get blamed. Now, this morning I heard, and I don't want to go over, I just want to just mention something with the official gazettes. That person is a skillful person. That is a person in your society that you have to watch.
Mm-hmm.
That person is a person. That is not a person that is trying to protect the type of criminal activities. That is a person. You don't have to.
Yes. Yes. When I read it, my heart dropped because it doesn't look real.
That person is the type of person who will introduce counterfeit money to the market.
Yeah.
So, whoever the person is, I'm suggesting that this is supposed to be an investigation because this person is a brilliant person.
Mm-hmm.
A brilliant person with a crooked mind, to create problems and things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the investigation on that particular issue, because it is necessary. I want to talk to you, Mr. Lane. Let me see where I want to talk to you, right? I want to talk to you to show that this social distancing has got his difference and has got his understanding. I agree that where people gather, they should honor and recognize social distancing is extremely important. It can be done in the form of visible material, big poster, whatever it may be, outside the bank and outside the supermarket. I also believe that there's certain supermarkets that are practicing that. But inside the supermarkets, and I have no apology to make, inside the supermarkets, I heard a lot of statements about police calling back and retired police calling about this, but inside the supermarkets, there are several policemen who are working for the establishment and also working for the supermarket. So if they're part of law and order, working inside the supermarket looking for shoplifters. This should also be part of law and order looking to control the crowds outside. So I'm saying that those same people who are policemen, and I don't mind who would be offended. There's several supermarkets across Barbados who employ policemen, plainclothes policemen outside of their duty. How it is, though, that we are understanding that outside of the supermarket, there's not the social distancing, but inside the supermarket, you've got the security.
Correct.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I observed the same thing.
It's a very serious situation, so I'm saying to the authorities, you're talking about bringing back in retired policemen. You're talking about looking for, I'm saying inside of the very forced establishment, you have to look at those persons who are working for an attached salary outside of the one that they're getting in a crisis time like this. And you've got to maneuver them into situations to understand they've got a responsibility like anybody else. Mm-hmm. Another thing, the same way we can call certain stores, I'm going to call some now to show you that this social gathering is very, very serious. There's a Starbucks called Care Shepherd. You familiar with that?
Yeah, I think I heard about it before.
There are three doors at Care Shepherd and three floors. And there's also a back door. None of the front doors are manned. None of the back doors are manned. As far as the floors are concerned, there are people upstairs on all the floors, whether the household floor, regardless of what it is. I am saying that this is an area of control as well. There is a need for an area of control.
So they are still open?
They're still open, yes. They're still open. Mm. But if you look downstairs, the salespeople downstairs are exposed to the virus because they serve a lot of people from overseas. Mm. But they're not distance. They're not social distance between them and anybody. So I'm saying that here, because if you are looking to impose control, you have to impose control where control is necessary. And I could call about three more places that, as far as the issue is concerned, that you cannot look down the road at the fellow who's skating and don't watch the fellow who's speeding.
Mm-hmm.
So
watch everybody.
There's no control. Huh?
You got to watch everybody and apply equally.
And
yes.
So there's no control at Care Shepherd's back door. There's no control at any of the front doors. But the staff are exposed just as like anybody else.
But why are they still open? Because I wouldn't see them as an essential service, so to speak.
Well, you have to give jacket because mm-hmm. Care Shepherd is a leading store. Mm-hmm. Care Shepherd in truth of fact.
So if you're a leading store, you could open through the shutdown?
Well, I don't know why they're not closed, but I know for sure that they opened.
I can check that out. I ain't shouting on nobody. I ain't got an authority shouting on nobody, but I would check it out because I figure that they would be closed, full stop. So you got me here. I can't see from here, but I can tell you, I can check it out on this break here coming up that the producer calling for, not me. Okay? All right. This is the Wednesday edition of Don't Brass Talks. So this is the 1st of April. I'm your moderator, Corey Lane. Remember, we go until 2 p.m. this afternoon. Now, okay, I understand Care Shepherd is closed. I just got about 40-something messages flooding in saying it is closed. One or two persons, and this just to show you how Barbados works. People love to get a little information saying it's unfair that they're open. And then a few saying they are open because they are essential services. They have a card service, so they are considered under the Financial Service Commission, so they are open. A lady called and said, you know, her daughter works from there and she's at home. It's closed. It's only the pharmacy open. You go through the back door. So if I had to go on the majority, I would put out a wager that it is closed. Don't Brass Stats, good morning.
Hi, good morning. All right, Corey.
Yes, sir. Yes, please. Good morning.
I have 3 points. This first point goes to the Workers' Union, the Minister of Labor, plus National Insurance. I just pay National Insurance, and the government gives 2 weeks shutdown to the whole island. National Insurance should be able to put this lot and at least give some kind of benefits to, if you pay National Insurance, to give those people at least 2 weeks money if you're not working. Because that's the only reason why you pay National Insurance, because meaning that you're not working, so you're paying National Insurance dues. So that's why a lot of employees forcing to sit on the staff on sit pay or leave or anything like that, because I believe that insurance should actually pose, you know, sure such burdens in that case. Mm-hmm. Because the government actually gives the 2 weeks shutdown. So so I believe that. And my other point is that during the 2 weeks shutdown, you still have people sick in those 2 weeks. And I wonder if the 2 weeks up, if it will be extended, because in that 2 weeks, people were still sick in that 2 weeks. Because you don't know if they had shared the virus to anybody else. So it don't make sense, shut down for 2 weeks, and in that 2 weeks time, people sick in that 2 weeks' time, because Bridget is not actually hearing the call. So I believe that if that, you know, people are not hearing the call after 2 weeks, make the measure more stiffer and more harder so that people will actually hear the call, because it, you don't know what happened after the opening, what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Yeah, I point taken. I guess the 2 weeks is would be a good time to see, because I said it's a later period before it shows symptoms of 2 weeks, but it's also to reduce the spreading during that time and give the authorities an opportunity to get a handle on what's happening, the contact tracing and all these different things. But I do understand what's happening. So a quick call to the Care Shepherd hotline, or PBX 629-4400. It said it's temporary closed on the website. It says, due to the impact of the novel COVID virus, COVID-19, we at Care Shepherd have made a decision to suspend our operations until further notice. Now, I don't want y'all come no too hard on Mark, please. You know, he's been right many times, and if he had one a little off, just bear with us as we go through this period. I add that to the period. This one says, good morning, Corey. My question is, why do someone have to tell someone to stay a distance from another person? Didn't the Lord give each of us a brain with thinking powers? I find that we as a people try to excuse always to do wrong and to oppose everything right, every right thing there is. Why? And as I said, there are different levels of people. It takes all types to go make the world go wrong. We may be in a privileged position to have had the broader see that we have to think the way that we think. Not everybody benefits from that. And if that sounds like an excuse, I can't even say I apologize, because it'd be a lie. Because I'm not sorry for saying it. It is what it is. I think that we that may have a better understanding or believe our position is right, that we should work with others and not just look down on them, judge them and say, oh, you should go out, brain, you should be able to think. If it was like that, the world would be so different. So that's my position on that. This one says, good morning. I saw people getting ready to play lawn tennis on Hoarders Hill Tennis Court. Please don't mention my name. Thanks. I don't know your name, number one. Number two, the people out Hoarders Hill Tennis Court, you can hear me. Apart that, you may say you have social distancing because of the tennis court. You are more than 6 feet apart, but we are trying to keep people off the road unnecessarily. So yes, good morning and welcome, Donor Brass. That's you on the ear.
Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning to you as well.
Yeah, people are playing tennis on the tennis court. Mm-hmm. They're far away from one another. Mm-hmm. There's a good distance. The only thing is, you know, if the person hand my gun first when they take out the ball to hit it back to the next partner.
Well, there you go. I think though there are two schools of thought here. We don't, people being choked up in the house and so on, people bouncing off the walls, they're not accustomed, and it causing them great stress and so on. But we have to take this thing serious. So therefore, the little exercise and different things, they say, you know, when you go a little beach, come back quick. And even that, I know they can frown down now. You know, take a solitary walk. And as Peter said yesterday, take a solitary ride on a bike up and down during the allowed hours. It should be okay. But then there are others. There's another school of thought which believe you should just stay inside 24/7 for 2 weeks and let's see what happens after that. So there are two competing schools of thought here. There can be some that think in the middle, okay, you know what, let the tennis people go ahead, they're just thinking. And then the problem with that though, ma'am, is the snowballing effect. We're to say, if tennis okay, then this okay and that okay, and then it gets out of hand.
Anyhow, I got two things to say to you. I would like to say belated birthday greetings to Peter, mm-hmm. and Gabby, and I would like to wish my Prime Minister all the best in her recovery.
Yes.
Right? The next thing is in relation to the government logos, right? People should not be using government logos, so send out all sorts of foolish messages. You got to get permission. And that person was clever. That person should be given a job for their brilliance, although they were wrong, right? Mm-hmm. The next thing is, I was trying to call the credit union in Belmont Road, and then get any voice messages, and the voice box full, and nobody ain't clearing it. And all the time, press this, press that, I ain't hearing nobody. And this is unreasonable. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is not so good.
No, you're right. Again, some people say go both ways on a story and on an issue, and it's because I like to see the entire story, I like to be comprehensive. On one hand, people need answers, so we need to get the phones, even if they have to be forwarded to people's home if they're working from home. What also people need to do is have a little patience. You have to call and call back. You need to leave messages and you need to wait and call back, because as you would understand, the same way you are calling to get information, there can be a lot of people calling. That's why all the...
Calling and call back. When you call to say that the bus box is full.
Correct. I understand. That's what I'm saying. And you know why it is full?
Because we've got different problems.
Correct. Correct. So again, communication. So we need now to... You know, make sure we put the information out there. Use the forum where you know, well, people are going to be listening, i.e. like Brastas and Starcom, etc. But also, again, there are pockets of people who are unfortunately not tuned into Starcom. So we have to find ways to get information, because everybody can't call in and ask one or two questions. But even in that case, they need to have people manning the phones. And again, using the technology, some of these calls can be routed or forwarded to employees who may be home, and they can still work from home by taking the calls.
Yeah, and my last question to you is, I have a relative who says she has not received her pension from NAS for last month, and they would like to know what the position for this 2 weeks money that going to be coming forward, mm-hmm. right? And you can, everybody talk about national insurance. But if everybody wants to dip into national insurance, so for now, there will be no money in national insurance. And I tend to think that despite the fact people supposed to get 14 days notice, right, before they can make up their mind about vacation or whatever, they should have a meeting and in the firm and let people know what's the situation with the company. And some people might say, okay, I know that you're supposed to give us 14 days before we take vacation. And if you know the circumstances, take the little vacation money, you know, because that's when you got to wait for national insurance to get that money. Man, you know how long it takes before you could get that money? Man, it's like pulling a tooth, man, to get that money from national insurance. to get that money out in there.
Right. I think you're pretty intelligent, because you're saying what the authorities have been saying here recently. The Barbados Workers Union, the Minister of Labour, the Attorney General, all of them have made the point about the law, yes, but these are funny times, yes, and they can make some kind of negotiation and so on. So I think you're on the correct page, because that's what the authorities have been saying over the from Sunday till now. That is what they've been saying. So you're on a good ground.
Because in the hotel industry, when we used to work in the hotel industry and things used to get tight, we would sit down and say, listen, everybody got work, and we would probably try to work it out in such a way that everybody could work, and then when things pick up, they would come back and work and that sort of thing, because everybody want a piece of the pie. But some people too selfish. People want everything for themselves. If you don't know the business, people are making the money, you understand? I know about entrepreneurship. My father had a business. I know what it's like, right? And if you ain't got none, if you are making the money and you tell the people that you employ, this is the situation, and some sticking out and things like that, let them go to national insurance.
They go both ways, because as Dwayne Paul from Barbados Workers Union said, the company is losing income, and also the employee, they're losing earnings. So it goes both ways, and I believe that we can meet each other halfway in times like these. That's the honest truth. Okay, ma'am, thank you. This one says, Corey, what about the fellas playing dominoes with hand sanitizer? They're at the table, less than 1 foot apart, but they got sanitizer. LOL, we lost. pass. Brastas, good morning. You're on the air.
Morning.
Hi, morning.
This is Victor Young.
Hi, Victor Young.
Former fire officer.
Yes, sir.
I understand that you wanted to know something about this burning.
Yes, yes. Yes, please.
And I was trying to get you to every sense, and I left my number for you to call me so that you would get some education on fire protection and so forth.
I
never called.
No, man, I would have called but not got you, because I could tell you I got my brass stats called except the one where Michelle got a figure wrong here or there. Not sorry, Michelle. Hello. By return I call. But anyhow, let's get down to brass tacks. Yes. What information do you have on this?
I am not an armchair fire officer. Mm-hmm. I'm a professional former fire officer. I want to get that part very clear.
Correct. I read you on
that. I understand that there was some discussion about the fire department paying people to get license to burn fire.
Yeah. To apply for a permit to light fire on the beach. I think this is for like barbecues and roasting breakfast, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do not believe that any fire department should actually be encouraging people to burn it. I think you should restrict them from doing burning. If you're telling me that they're barbecuing on the beach, that is something different than burning stuff. I want to know if it was said that they were allowing people to come in to have a permit to burn stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to find out.
Right. That's a suggestion I made. The permit talk I heard about spoke about the beach, right? Now, I want to put something to you, something that I read, something that I heard, something that I discussed with some officials, right? Now, for years, and I know you would have heard about this, there are people who have been known.
These are fire officials that you would have discussed
with? Well, one is the chief, and I could call it because we spoke off air. One is the chief fire officer, right? But what I'm discussing now is not necessarily what I spoke with him. Mm-hmm. It was something I was putting to him that I had read. In relation to public nuisances and fires. We were talking, when I discussed with him, I was discussing the whole issue of the kites and the cowage. Uh-huh. And how they were asking for the fire service assistance on that. But that discussion is off air, and I would leave it off air. What I want to put to you as a professional fire officer is this.
Former
professional fire officer. My understanding is that burning fire in a neighborhood willy-nilly is something that's not supposed to be allowed. It's supposed to be regulated. And if, you know, you get the fire, people only call the fire service when it get out of hand. But I understand as a resident and you're being bothered by the fire service, by someone burning fire, what people usually do, they'll call the police. The police might tell you call the public health inspector. The public health inspector tell you call the police. The police can tell you call the fire. The fire can tell you call the police. And people go in a complete circle. So then they're fouled out by the fire, and then they're dizzy from going in circles calling all these agencies. I was made to understand that the correct procedure is that there's a fire. You don't know if somebody who's burning or not. You're supposed to call the fire service.
Correct.
The fire service is supposed to come, and then they would deal with the fire and investigate it. And in their investigation, they would determine what to do. Now, if it's a malicious fire, they have the right and the authority to refer it to the police to be investigated, and a charge could be laid for lighting a malicious fire or whatever terminology.
Which you would call arson.
Arson.
Anybody who decides to light a fire anywhere at all, it is known as arson, because you have no authority to light a fire nowhere. Well, you're burning piece of trash, nothing. You should not do it.
But now, go ahead. Don't let me start. You go
you
right
should
ahead.
Be prosecuted for doing it, because when you burn a fire in your neighborhood, whether it is a piece of grass, whether it is, and it gets away from you, you're not training firefighting. The first thing you do, you're going to run and try to get a bucket of water, and a bucket of water can't out fire.
Sometimes a hose can't even out fire. And they're talking from experience.
That you will find firefighters doing burning is when they're burning by a campfire.
Control burning.
Control.
Yes, I hear my talking.
If you call the fire department and ask them if you can burn your stuff, they are not going to tell you yes, although they are mock fire officers. What a mock fire officer would tell you, you can burn it.
But listen, let me really get down to brass tacks. What you're saying, I agree with, but I am telling you, right across the length and breadth of this country, people burn stuff every day. Every day, the burning, and not a boy that I know about, let's get prosecuted. So then where is the disconnection between what should happen and what is happening?
No, you don't have to tell me that. I see it every day. In the back of me, I had to call the fire department several times for people out here just burning stuff. And when they come, I mean, you know, there's no action really. There's just out in it. And
imagine if that's you. Imagine the average citizen. They know they can't take solace from that.
And in my neighborhood, I am being malicious. I'm being cursed.
Yeah.
Because when I see it, I go to the individual and he says, "Who gave you the authority to burn this?" And you know,
I want to talk about out by me, but I don't know if my neighbor is listening.
But I don't care about the neighbors, because when you get people who are ignorant, then they get a fire, then they want somebody to throw up a fund for them, they want somebody to put them in a house, and all this kind of thing, because they are so lazy, they don't want to put their stuff in small parcels and do what they should do with it.
I think they need to learn about composting and different things too.
That the danger that they are causing to other people who have got respiratory problems, this is asthma and so forth.
Yeah, sinuses, asthma, all type of different things. They got some.
And I've said this already in my early years when I was in the fire department. You should be prosecuted and pay a fine, also a fine and imprisonment. And it would send a strong message, but people just don't care. The first thing they tell you, why you can't burn it? They do it on Sundays, they do it bank holidays, they do it Good Fridays, any time at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my day, I would have been different, but again, some of the guys aren't tight.
So no, I think, if you have legislation, then you just need enforcement. Legislation should untie that hand. I think it should be stopped, period. And I'm talking from someone, I remember being about 9 years old, and my mom used to burn a lot of stuff, and the neighbors used to have to come up, and they would block in front of the house and so on. And I used to be, even at that age, I used to tell my mom, she's doing foolishness. Not in those words, because my mom was an SR, you know. And I understood, because people had their clothes on the line. They had a serious asthmatic upwind and downwind from us. So even if the wind changed, you got problems. And from then until now, I have to be explaining to people the dangers of it. I also, once a scout, always a scout, so I can also form a scout. As a scout, I remember lighting a fire to cook. And a whole pastor was ignited there in Batalis and somewhere else. Yes, St. Stephen's scouts were known for lighting the place. But let me tell you, I understand then the seriousness of fire, because you say we run for a bucket and then we run for a hose, and this thing within seconds the entire place was ablaze, and it helped to drive home the seriousness of fire to me in terms of health, in terms of clothes, in terms of the danger to people's houses and lives. It is just something that should stop immediately. Anyhow, sir. I've been calling for a break for a little while. I have to listen to my producer. I want to thank you for coming in and bringing clarity to the issue. And hopefully when this COVID thing is over, we can get some serious action on this, or even during, because this also affects respiratory illness or respiratory conditions of people, just like the same COVID-19. 90 minutes before noon, this is Down to Brass Tacks. We are again joined by Mr. David Ellis with some more information, some more important information for all of you. Good morning again, David.
Yes, morning. Well, you are aware that we have been through the process of having the House amend the emergency powers situation, the emergency legislation that was passed just some days ago. But to really make this complete, there has to be a proclamation of the legislation. And this morning, a short while ago, the Speaker of the House of Assembly, Arthur Holder, made this announcement.
Her Excellency the Governor General to the Honorable the House of Assembly. Her Excellency the Governor General has the honor to inform the Honorable the House of Assembly of the following. Section 28, subsection 1 of the Emergency Management Act, Cap 168, states that where the Governor General is satisfied that an emergency has arisen as a result of a person or an animal having a communicable disease or a notifiable disease, the Governor General may, by proclamation, on the advice of the Prime Minister, after the Prime Minister has consulted or has been advised by the Chief Medical Officer, declare that a public health emergency exists. Her Excellency further has the honor to inform the Honorable the House of Assembly that in accordance with Section 28, subsection 3 of the said said Cap 168, she has declared a public health emergency. Signed, Governor General, Government House, Barbados, 28th of March, 2020.
So there you have it, the Speaker of the House announcing that the Governor General has declared a public health emergency. And of course, those people who are looking at the legal aspect of this type of matter would want to know that the government has been through the right procedure to proceed along the path that it is currently taking.
David, I'm not sure if you know about this part of it, but some people have been asking about the Constitution. Now, the government had chosen not to go the way of amending the Constitution, and we all know that they wanted to do it through the Emergency Powers Act of a public emergency. That's my information. And people were saying the Constitution is still the supreme law. So a lawyer had actually called me off air and asked if I wanted to visit a client, I would use the Constitution as a supreme law. So I don't know if you've heard any discussion along those lines. Just because you mentioned the idea of people wanting to make sure government that's
They would have to go into more detail as to what aspect of the Constitution they believe is at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
Just mentioning the Constitution.
The right to assemble, the right to associate, those type of things. But I believe he was being mischievous. But I know some people use these.
Well, you know, if he's a lawyer, let him go court then. I mean, the place for lawyers is in court fight matters like that, not in the
court. And I mean, a time like this, opinion. I don't think we should be squabbling over these little things. This is a very serious matter, and I believe that we should follow the letter of the law as associated.
The critical issue, though, is that you must follow the letter of the law, as you just said. I've saw some suggestion that basically the government is assuming powers unto itself that perhaps are going too far. However, when I looked at what was being said, it appeared to me that what was coming under the Emergency Management Act was no different from what was under the emergency powers the cabinet already had. So if you're going to make the argument that the government is going too far, then you have to say to us, how does that compare and contrast with what was already on the statute books? Now, there's also the other argument which says, well, if it is already there, why waste time doing this too?
Mm-hmm.
So
I've heard all those. Now, one thing I want to make clear, David, in your presence, you know, when I remember you're in the studio and you hear somebody like Vic Finance come in and know something really important happening, your voice carries that to some extent. Also, you're hearing the speaker. I believe that some people may get confused and link the misinformation we had before to the announcement. And
no,
I just want
to
make sure it's clear. Right?
That's absolutely nothing to do with this talk of the place being shut down.
Correct.
In a couple of days or so. Now, let's recognize where we are right now. Barbadians are being encouraged to follow the guidelines which have been put before us for trying to prevent the spread of this disease.
Mm-hmm.
Now, quite a number of people are in communities behaving in a manner that is contrary to what is expected. Indeed, one friend of mine told me I should pass down Black Rock and see how some men are behaving mm-hmm. on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
People like that need to remember that they are posing a significant danger to themselves, to their families. But I must again say that there is some difference in the way people are behaving when it comes to social distancing today.
I made a similar point, David. My emphasis really would have been not to lock down or punish the entire country, but to go after those persons who are in breach of it. That is my position, and I hold into that, David.
Well, you can hold to your position.
Because when you strengthen the measures, again, those people will continue to flaunt.
I don't know.
And you have to turn around and do the same thing, which is to deal with them.
I don't know. Because a lot depends upon how many people are behaving like that. And what resources you have to throw behind the number of people who are behaving in that way.
Observation of Bajan culture, you only need to deal with two and deal with them publicly and make some examples.
Well, I will say to you, other Caribbean countries Now, first of all, if you look at the rate of infection in Barbados, it is pretty high right now when you compare it with other Caribbean countries. Huh? People that are behind us are working right now to try to curb the spread by having lockdowns. Mm-hmm. Several other countries around the world are doing that. Now, I suppose the critical issue in a lockdown is how are you going to protect the vulnerable, the really vulnerable people? And I suppose India is a good example of what can happen because they have had so many millions of poor marginalized. Mm-hmm. But once they locked down the country, those people were left out in the dark. So at the end of it, you know what's going to drive this? The figures are also going to influence it. If you're looking at the Barbados situation and you realize that we are galloping in numbers, mm-hmm. it is going to force people in authority to start to see what obviously the status quo cannot remain.
But I take it very serious, David, but I also take the numbers in context. And the, out of the 34, the chief medical officer did say that 19 of those were due to aggressive contact tracing. Right. So if you have the contact tracing, you go ahead and do the testing, then that will be the case. David, I'm not minimizing the numbers, but I'm saying that have to be taken into consideration.
Well, you see, one of the factors you got to look at here, and let me say to you that this discussion is taking place all over this country. Mm-hmm. You have people with one opinion as to how it must be dealt with. Mm-hmm. The next person has a different one. Sometimes they have deeply entrenched positions on this matter. What needs to be taken into consideration here is the unknown. It is the fact that there are a lot of people and who have been traveling around and would not know mm-hmm. that they are actually carrying this virus and mm-hmm. interacting with one another. My position is I look at New York. New York is a mess.
Correct.
I talk to people there. I look at what is happening on television and stuff. I see the makeshift morgues. I see the bodies being taken into them. Mm-hmm. I know where, what can happen. Mm-hmm. It's happened in Italy. It has happened in Spain. Barbados must not become the epicenter for this in the Caribbean.
Correct. It has the potential to mushroom and we must do all things to prevent. Now, we leave that for there for now. That is Mr. David Ellis as we come out.